WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are we got orange skies and purple air and opening day and baseball going on and lacrosse is happening out there. I want to remind everyone, I'm about to go on a crab cake tour and I'm going to be doing some eating. Broiled, fried, with pimento, without, too much celery seed, not enough Old Bay. There will be beer, and there will be travel involved, and there will be Fadley's involved. Our dear friends down at Lexington Market have inspired me through crab cake eating. Our friends at Costas will also be involved in this, but each and every week, there's going to be conversation with all sorts of folks. We'll be telling you more about that. Speaking of crab cakes, there was a rumor. I was at State Fair earlier in the week because my wife's been gone, and I grabbed a Cobb salad, some extra fried chicken. When I said to him, I want more fried chicken, he's like, it's already got fried chicken. And I said, you don't understand. I want more fried chicken. So I got more fried chicken at State Fair. I finally tried the firecracker salmon. It was fantastic. And I did have those little potato things that Mueller liked so much. Don, what are those things? Were they Reuben potato skins?
Those are outstanding, man. The Reuben potato skins.
But you had a crab cake. I had a crab cake at State Fair. I'm waiting now for the tour. I'm going to wait till next month and do it with Evan.
Well, Evan would be the first. We're going to get to our guest here in a moment, but this is the latest edition of the Food Network. Evan would be the first to tell you when they opened. I said to Evan, "The crab cake's okay, but I think it can be better." And he said, "We're getting it. We're getting it." And I had
you
one
were
yesterday.
Part of the recipe, so I'm going to credit you or blame you. What am I?
Well, I don't know that I was part of it. I just gave them feedback. I like crab cakes like everybody else.
All right.
And I had one yesterday, and it was spectacular. And we get ready to bring in our guest here, Ed Miller, the golf pro at Forest Park Golf Course.
I was going to do the transition, but it's all good.
Sorry.
It's spring. It's golf.
I started talking
sports.
Well, I'm going to get
sponsors, crabs. I mean.
I'm going to get Ed in on the
Don doesn't think I've done this before.
I know, right?
How are you?
I'm doing very well, guys. Thank you so much. But I am getting hungry listening to all this.
I see that.
Talk, right?
That's the whole goal. Then we're doing our job here. You know, it's a golf week, right? I mean, I would say more than anything, Don, you had about 10 pounds of mulch dumped out on your front lawn. Shouldn't you be golfing? Right? This is around the time, right?
I absolutely should be golfing, and I should be taking the right Ed, the pilgrimage to Mecca.
Absolutely.
Down to Augusta. You've been, I assume.
Yes, sir. Been a couple times. Yep.
Doesn't it remind you of that scene for people who might not be golfers? It's that scene from Field of Dreams where they go, you know.
Oh, yeah. When you're talking about when they first see the field.
Is this heaven?
Yep.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. No, it's heaven. when you know, the funny thing, Ed, and give us your thoughts as a golfer over the years regarding the Masters. But what I always tell folks is, and I've been fortunate to go twice. I would say maybe three. No, twice. I know. Went to the practice rounds, never been to a regular round because I want to watch the regular round on TV so I can see what's happening on the leaderboard. But when you drive up to Augusta, before you get there, you feel like you're driving on Route 40 in Essex or Route 40 in Catonsville, and you're going,
absolutely.
I took a wrong turn. You know, it's like the Barkley commercial, Indianapolis. Yep. I said, I'm supposed to be where the Masters is, and I'm on Route 40 in Essex.
Yep, yep.
And all of a sudden there it sits, right? Am I lying?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. I remember that the first time I kept saying, where is this Magnolia Lane you keep hearing about? This is not it. And then once you finally get in there and you cross it, then you're like, oh, this is what you keep hearing about. And then, yeah, it's definitely a neat transition.
You've been doing this forever here, right? I mean, golf and loving golf. For both of you, I have turned down two opportunities to go to Augusta. So I've never been.
Oh, my God.
One was turned down the second time my wife had cancer. So hang on.
All right.
The first time was I was nationally syndicated. They invited me to do radio. It's turn of the century, probably, you know, early Tiger, 2000, 2001 in that range, 2000. So I said, let the other guys do it. They love, I'll do it next year. And then next year never came. I wore my green for you guys today. And the only other golf thing I have is people think I don't like golf, and I've done a lot of golf. I know how to hold the club. I've hit on the 17th at down where your sister lives in Jacksonville, but this is my original golf outing town. Don, you probably played the this original Nasty Charity Open, right?
I absolutely played.
1997, so nice. It was 24 years ago with our friends at Amici's. I still have the golf towels here. You know, for people to go to Augusta or see Augusta and finally go there, Ed, how old were you and how long had you been golfing and how long had you dreamed of doing it? Because I think that's something – there's no one that's ever been to Augusta that doesn't love talking about it.
Oh, absolutely. I started playing golf when I was 4 or 5 years old with my dad, but I go all the way back to 1986 when Jack won. And I watched the Masters usually every year with my dad. That kind of kickstarts our season. And the fact that I was fortunate enough to go a few years ago for the first time and actually see it in person, it's, yeah, like Don's saying, it's fantastic. It's and as a sports fan, I would tell you that, you know, Augusta has got to be kind of like a Wrigley Field or a Lambeau Field. You need to get out there and just check it out once.
Oh, my goodness.
It's fantastic.
Ed, we're going to test Nestor now. Now, he says he's not a golf guy, but he is a sports, like, savant, you know. 1986, Nestor. Wait a minute now. Jack wins the Masters. Vern Lundquist makes one of the great calls ever in the history of golf. Do you remember what the call is?
Oh, God, don't put – no, I don't. No, what was it? Tell me.
Ed, do you remember?
Get in there. In the hole. In there. What was it?
It's simply yes.
Yeah.
I watched that tournament. I worked at the paper. I remember everything about it. I don't remember that.
One word. So. Yes. Mm-hmm. So this thing begins in 1934. Bobby Jones – designs Augusta, dreams it up. You know what I didn't realize, Ed? And we're going to get into all the Classic Five stuff here shortly, and we want to talk about more about the course itself. I did not realize, you probably do as a golf pro, Bobby Jones retired from the sport at 28.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, awesome, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. Yep. He said, well, you can't play competitive golf forever. So at 28, yeah, he was done and decided to design golf courses.
Absolutely. That's probably, a fascinating thing for sure. And I don't know if it was as much of the times as going back that long ago, but I thought it was great to walk out on top, and the fact that he never turned pro was pretty neat. So
amazing. Sure. Well, Ed, for people who haven't been to Augusta, you go up Magnolia Lane and then you spend a couple of hours in the gift shop. Nestor, it's the gift shop itself is an it's like Amazon pre-Amazon. It's like Disney World Line.
I'm not shocked by this. Not in the least. Do you get near Butler Cabin, or is that sort of like the White House? Yeah. You can't get near there. Is that?
You can't go in.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You can't go in. You may see Butler Cabin. And talk about, for our folks out there, what they don't realize. They realize how pretty it is on TV, but talk to them about the contour, both of the course and the greens.
Yeah, absolutely. The slope out at Augusta is the TV television cameras cannot do it justice. You're absolutely right. The first time I walked out there, the most amazing part was to see the elevation changes, easily over 100 feet worth of elevation changes from tees to greens, and the slopes on the greens are it's wild.
Waxed, from what I understand. Yes.
Yep. Well, Gary McCord.
And I said, I watched.
I've done sports too long, man. Even stuff I don't care about, I know too much.
At the practice round, it's what Ed is saying. For those watching, it's literally some of the approaches to the greens are like this.
Yep.
And then some of the putts.
Well, you see it every year when a ball looks like it's on Maxwell Smart and somebody's got a magnet pulling it, literally, right? I mean, it looks like it's getting pulled on a string and you're like, oh, it's like a waterfall. I get it, right?
Yep.
It's Nestor. It would be the way I've described it, Ed, for people is to imagine a blacktop driveway and your driveway goes down at a 45 degree angle. Now I want you to go to the top of your driveway. I want you to do two things for me. I want you to putt from the top of the driveway and stop the ball 10 feet from you. And people say, well, you're crazy. My ball's going to roll into the street. Yeah. And then go down to the street and try to putt it up and make sure, like Nestor said, that it doesn't come back by you. And
absolutely.
You really can't appreciate that on TV. But how about the beauty, Ed? Rage Creek. Describe the beauty to people and the azaleas. And
oh yeah, absolutely. It is definitely, I always joke, the first time I walked it, it's the greenest, firmest ground that I've ever been on. Even the pine needles seem like they're displayed out in the trees properly, but every flower, the azaleas, like you said, in full bloom. That's going to be the neat thing about the change this year back to April. The golf course should look a lot prettier. Everything should be in full bloom. Are you saying
that the Classic 5 courses don't look like that? Is that what you're telling me? Come on, I know better than that.
Maybe just the we don't quite have the same operation budget as they do. So
let me say this. I'm a Dundalk guy, right? And I played a lot of ball, and I never played in lacrosse. And I've dealt with this. This is my 30th year on the radio. So I get a hard time from the lacrosse people, the golf people, because I played tennis. I played baseball. I didn't play soccer, right? Like, so, you know, my Latin friends are like, how do you not play soccer? I'm like, my people were Venezuelan. My cousin is in the Hall of Fame. He played baseball. So, you know, you can't do it all. But I picked up golf in, you know, into my 20s, and I said it was like baseball, but it wasn't, because of arms and wrist and grips. And this is a week. And for me as a kid growing up in Dundalk, nobody played tennis but me, right? Everybody played baseball, the things that people in the neighborhood do. My dad did not golf. We had a couple of neighbors that golfed, right? And then you get older and you feel like, oh, golf. Oh, that's a country club thing, you know, whatever. And then there's like the Classic 5 courses that are – across my 30 years, Oriole fans, Ravens fans, whatever, it's across all sort of socioeconomic. Then Tiger Woods starts golfing and a whole different group of people and a whole different youth movement happens with that. And that's now 25 years ago, right? So, and then there's socially distanced last year where, like, unless you fished, you could learn to golf, right? But this is a week where when people watch the Masters, even a guy like me will say, hey, I'm gonna call my son. Maybe we'll go over and, you know, and hit some. You know what I mean? Like, because it makes you want to golf. Like, right? Literally. Yep, yep. And I think it's a gateway when people watch this. This is the recruitment part of your industry, right? Like, literally,
yes, yes.
People either say, I want to golf again, which would be my case. I've golfed many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing other things in my life right now. There's a lot of things that I'll do. I don't watch movies, Ed. Moeller gets on me, but I do eat crab cakes. But golf this week, people next week will golf for the first time or come to somebody like you and say, I want to be better at this so I can do this more often. And it's socially distanced and it gets me outside. And this is the week that that happens, right?
Yes, absolutely. Usually. I think, you know, you're sitting around all winter and everything's so gray and gloomy. And then the Masters comes on television and it's so green and colorful, and the Masters compared to other tournaments, they usually do less
friends.
Commercials. Yeah, I was gonna say it just does something to you.
Ed, talk about you. I had a brother-in-law, and I'm curious on your take. I had a brother-in-law that worked for the tour for a number of years. Actually, was in charge of the President's Cup.
Have you hit a tee shot on 17? Have I asked you that before?
Me?
Yes, upon at
TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah.
No, number of times.
Nice, good.
Many times.
Checking.
Because my brother-in-law and sister,
right,
lived in Ponte Vedra.
You ever put it near the hole or no?
Ed will appreciate this. The first time I hit a ball on 17, I actually have hit it on once or twice. First time I hit it, I hooked it. When you think about watching it, for those of you who watch the Players' Championship, I hooked it so bad, I hooked it over the water, up to where the stands would be, which wasn't out of bounds. So I hit such a bad shot that I wasn't out of bounds and was able to chip back over the water. But Ed, what I wanted you to talk about, along with working for the tour, my brother-in-law was a club pro for a number of years.
Okay.
And I've known many club pros. It's a hard job. Talk to folks. I mean, I don't think they realize the hours you guys put in. And You're a retail salesman, you're an athletic coach, you're a trainer, you're a groundskeeper. Talk about the job, Ed, and the hours and why you do it.
Well, I totally appreciate that. It's definitely a great job. It's kind of what I've known my whole life. Sometimes the hours can be long, especially during the golf season, but it's very rewarding. It's one of the reasons I chose the job is you get to hang around with most people. I consider myself a people person, and Most people that come to the golf course are there to have a good time, escape, get better. So that part of it's always been great. But, you know, that's the rewarding part to me. I know, obviously, I like to play golf, and the people that I come into contact with every day makes it worth it. The way I look at it, we're in Maryland specifically, you know, we get started from April to October. So 6 months to really go to the hard grind, and then hopefully get a little bit of catch up time in the winter is always good. But great atmosphere at almost every golf course I've ever been to. So,
well, it's energizes you, like when a guy like not like me, because I do know how to hold the club and I can go out and I've had hand eye forever, but someone that's really never done much or wants to pick it up. I mean, it's thought to be one of those things you can do into your 50s and 60s if you learn how to do it. Clearly, a lot more women have been involved in golf over the last 30 years, recruited through the tour and youth sports and all of that. Mm-hmm. But someone that's 20, 30, sort of kind of athletic, has done other things, but has never, because I was that guy. I had never picked up a golf club until I was well into my 20s. I was probably 25 years old and had played sports all my life, but just had never done that. What energizes you when somebody comes out and says, all right, let's go from the beginning? And more than that, how often has that happened? I mean, and I would think in the coming weeks, it will happen as much as it's ever happened because of COVID and everything else and people wanting to do something else, right?
Absolutely. Actually, I would say I'm glad you mentioned that, but golf has actually been one of the few businesses that's probably benefited from COVID. We started to notice that toward the end of last year. Definitely one of the more safe things you can do when you go outside. So you can socially distance, you get a lot of fresh air, and you can exercise. While not the same as other sports, you do get some exercise with golf.
I make Moeller walk. He's not riding a cart.
Ed, here's my public service appeal. And I know it makes no business sense, so I apologize up front, but I've told our friends in Baltimore County who run their courses as well. And I've heard this from golfer after golfer. One of the great things in terms of playing the game that happened in COVID was that you guys were forced to spread the foursomes out. And as opposed to running foursomes off every 8 minutes or whatever, you ran them off every 12. And what that did for pace of play and enjoyment was off the charts. And I'm assuming that just doesn't work as a business model in terms of the number of rounds you need to get.
Yeah, I mean, in the long term, it doesn't. The more people, obviously, you can get on the golf course, the better. But you are absolutely right. I would say the combination of spacing out tee times, allowing players to ride in their individual carts, we saw a significant decrease in the amount of time it took to play golf.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was enjoyable. You weren't waiting. People weren't screaming at each other. It was really, really
terrific. I don't go to a golf course to have people screaming at each other.
Well, right? I'll tell you a story, quick story, and then I want to jump to the Classic Five, and we want to talk about who's going to win.
I can see three of them from my window up here, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
many moons ago, really date myself, but my daughter was probably 2 or 3 years old, and I was on the ninth hole at Diamond Ridge, and it was backed up 3 or 4 groups, and one group was screaming at somebody on the green, and another group and it teed off, and then the people in the fairway were mad because one guy hit it too far, and he's hitting it back and screaming at them. I literally said, Nestor, this is a Nestor moment. I said to the guys I'm with, I said, hey, guys, no problem. I grabbed my bag, and I said, I'm going home. I said, I just didn't come out here to scream at people. This is not – I got a daughter at home. If I'm going to play golf, I'm not going to scream at people for 18 holes. So I think that pace of play thing – it seems to me pros, and again, I give you credit. Maybe you react to this with marshals and what have you. That's gotten better at public courses over the years. I don't see as much of that now. People screaming, shouting, carrying on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think some of it is, you know, there's more golf courses around. So for the most part, play is maybe spread a little bit more. But I think golf courses too. I remember working in the 90s and in Baltimore at golf courses. And that was like the heyday of golf. And I think one of the things that we have learned is not to jam as many people onto the golf course.
Right.
I would say even before COVID, there was definitely some changes in how you spread the tee times apart and how early you started. So it's definitely been a beneficial change.
No, and I think it's so important. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Classic Five. And for those folks out there right now saying, man, I want to find out more about these great Baltimore City golf courses, because it really is. This is Baltimore positive.
Yes,
these
sir.
Five courses are really part of what makes Baltimore.
And I've been on all of them, you know.
Great place to live.
I think for all the years, 30 years, I think there has not been a year we have not talked about the Classic Five. And in Baltimore positive tradition, right, that these are classically, and I love the way they've, whoever branded a Classic Five, I want to meet, is that Maroon? I don't know, that is before Maroon. But so, whoever branded it, that's an interesting way to, but more than that, I would have put something charm on it, because I think the courses have some charm.
Oh my goodness, Nestor, that's what I want to add to talk about. I'm going to take a quick tour around. And for those of you out there, classic5golf.com, classic5golf.com. You can find junior leagues. You can find lessons. You can find tee times. You name it, classic5.com. I mean, really, five of the great courses. Now, I have a soft spot for a couple of them, Ed, and I'm going to have
all
you
right, all
sort
right.
of take it. So I grew up on the west side before there was Diamond Ridge and the Woodlands, and I'm old enough, I learned to play golf at two places, Forest Park and Carroll Park.
All right.
Now, Carroll Park, of course, you finally became a man when you could hit a nice little draw over to Montgomery Ward's parking lot, right, and cut that corner. Yep. I mean, one of the great, great holes. But tell us what you like about your course, because I always loved the elevated first tee at Forest Park and then up the hill, and then you come back down. Yep. You got the little par three over the pond, and then three, you go down through the woods. I mean, neat holes at Forest Park. Absolutely. What do you like about it?
Well, first of all, I think Forest Park is a neat little oasis on the west side of town. Just like you said, we got some beautiful large trees. You can tell that are very old and, you know, like you said, elevation changes, but two distinct nines at Forest Park. We got a very tree lined, hence the name Forest Park side, with some huge trees. And then we got the front side, which is a little bit more open, but a great mix of holes. We got some short holes, some long holes, definitely a nice little oasis on the west side of town.
Some great, great par fives, I think.
Oh, yeah.
At Forest Park?
Yeah, we got two, especially the signature type 18th hole par five, where you come out the chute, big dog leg. The par fives and the par threes are definitely the challenge at Forest Park.
And, yeah, I get out there. You got to give me a place to muscle up. I mean, that's the only reason I'm there.
There you go. Well, they've got it for you there.
I don't know how far I can hit it, but I'm going to try.
Hey, we got 150 acres for you, Nestor. We let you go out there. You're good. Does it.
Before we get to Mount Pleasant and Pine Ridge, because both of those just spectacular. I always say to people, those courses would hold up and measure up to any private layout in terms of 18 holes you can play. We'll come to them near the end. But I am ashamed to say, until my good friend and friend of our show, Reverend Al Hathaway, invited me to join him. I'm sure you know Reverend, because he hits all those courses. He loves the game. He loves to chase the little white ball. He invited me to join him at Clifton. And I was so excited, because I had heard over the years about number 18 at Clifton as being one of the greatest views from any golf hole in the United States of America. And you stand on this elevated tee at 18 at Clifton, and you see the entire city, Ed.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? You see the whole architecture, every building. It is fantastic. You're absolutely correct.
I mean, if you're out there and you have not played Clifton Park, I mean, it's a nice little layout anyway, but just make sure you grab your camera or your phone on 18 and take the
shot. I'm looking at it right now out the window, so I can see
it. It is spectacular. And then, Ed, talk about what I always say to people when they play Mount Pleasant. I say, well, it doesn't really start till the 14th hole. 14 through 18. When you say Mount Pleasant doesn't start until the 14th hole.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Masters when they talk about the back nine on Sunday. You're absolutely right. I would say the teeth of the golf course gets you back there on 14. It gets long. There's some good bending, good dog legs. Every hole, not a straight hole once you get to 14, actually. It's dog leg right, dog leg left, dog leg. Yeah, everything's got a curve to it.
18's 90 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. and it's straight uphill. And then, you know, obviously with Mount Pleasant, when you throw in the history of the Eastern Open back in the 50s and the fact that Arnold Palmer is one out there and yeah,
Mount Pleasant. I think Billy Casper won there, I think.
Yes, sir. I think so. You're right.
I think Kerry Middlecroft. Mm-hmm. Dr. Kerry Middlecroft. And yep. Then there's Pine Ridge. As a little kid, my mm-hmm. uncle grabbed me and took me out. One of the great things, they had a women's open at Pine Ridge. And I remember seeing Mickey Wright and what was the lady from Baltimore, the great Carol, I've drawn a blank. Carol Mann. Playing out at Pine Ridge. And I remember years ago, Ed, some golf magazine, either Golf Digest or Golf Magazine, was ranking great holes in the United States, you know, by, you know, what's a really good number one hole? What's a really good number? And they picked number 8 at Pine Ridge, that par 3 over the reservoir. Yeah. Right? Spectacular hole, right?
Absolutely. Huge, beautiful hole. Also, not only the view of the water, but also a big elevation change as well. You're hitting from almost a cliff down to that green. It looks fantastic. Like a postage
stamp. The other thing about all of this, and you guys talking about the beauty, and you know, I talked about the pond in Patterson Park and the things we have in Baltimore that are beautiful that have been. I mean, my wife sees it with architecture. We see it all the time. But you know, Ed, it's one thing when Don and I get on a plane. A friend of mine, Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, is out in Sedona this week, right? Seeing the red rocks, and they build courses in Tucson, and they build things in the mountains. You know, these were courses that were built to be beautiful before they built golf courses before they spent billions of dollars trying to make things beautiful, right?
Yep, exactly.
Oh, spectacular. I mean, Ed, that's a great point that Nestor makes. I think that people would love, even if they're not golfers, and you can't do this because of the safety factor.
Just take a walk, right?
But just it's a nice to walk Pine Ridge is, it's spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. Around the reservoir, some of the water views. It's it is a beautiful.
You never know you're in Baltimore, hon.
Not out there.
Not out there.
Ed Miller is here. He's over at Forest Park, over 20 years experience teaching people the game of golf. And by the way, I read this on his resume, and you'll appreciate this, and Dr. Kurt Knight will appreciate this, Don Muller. Essex Community College. There we go.
Yes, sir.
I'm not all community college, Ed. So, you know, tell everybody about the courses and how to get involved. And let's just say somebody's listening and a knucklehead like me. I haven't picked up a club. I was out at the radio station, Don. My clubs are out there, and I opened the club, and I'm like, "Oh, there's my golf clubs! There they are! You know." And if you pick them up, and this is a time to do that, right? Maybe even put away in the winter or whatever. Haven't played in a couple of years. Give everybody sort of the front row of what to do and how to do it to reach you, and you know, you don't have to drive a couple. It's right here. You can go out. You can have a nice day this week, next week, sometime soon, right?
Yes, sir. No, thank you very much, Nestor. But obviously, everybody can reach out to us or look us up on classic5golf.com. Again, we have 5 different facilities located around Baltimore. So depending on where you are, hopefully we have a convenient location for you. As Don said earlier, we have numerous leagues for junior golfers, women golfers,
right there.
Senior
I'll
golfers.
That up for you. Not that I want your face to go away yet, but we want to show the courses here. So.
No, it's probably a smart move by you. Took you long enough.
Well, you're also doing some discounts too, right? And you know,
yes,
there are annual passes and all that for people that are looking for an option here that's affordable, that's local. I mean, my goodness, junior golf, foot golf, you know, everything you want to know, you just do this online. Book a tee time, like getting a dinner reservation, right? Like getting curbside over State Fair, right?
Again, Baltimore positive, Nestor. I mean, the greenery, the recreation, these great, great golf pros like Ed Miller. I mean, one of the things that I'm always struck by, Ed, and I think it's a credit to your profession, is you mentioned early on that you're a people person. It seems to me, if you're not a people person, you're not going to last a long time as a golf pro.
Absolutely.
People are going to make you crazy pretty quick, right?
You're correct. You're absolutely correct. I always remember when I was 12, 13 years old and being dropped off at the golf course, and everybody treated me well. So as I got older, and it's just a great place to hang out. So,
all right, well, let's do it. It's crunch time. It's Masters week. It's a high holy holiday around here. Never on my calendar is there anything on Sunday from about noon to about 7 o'clock on Masters Sunday. Never. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. That's it. It's Masters Sunday. So
we
spoke with John Feinstein a few weeks back, and you've played. You played both on the Gateway Tour, and you had a stint on the Nationwide Tour. So you know what it's like to try to win on Sunday. You know, Jordan, one of my favorite athletes on the planet, Jordan Spieth, had what I'll call for the past 4 years the Sunday blues. He could get there. He could hold that 54-hole lead. But Sunday, as great as he was at 27, he couldn't win again. We said to John Feinstein, Jordan going to kick the Sunday blues. And what do you think? He said, not only is he going to kick the Sunday blues, he's going to win some more majors. Well, as Feinstein always is, particularly when it comes to golf, he was right. Thankfully, Jordan kicked the Sunday blues, won again. Phenomenal performance recently. So I ask you, does Jordan fulfill the second part of Feinstein's premonition, and does he win another major? I mean, he's won before, right? He won in 2015.
Yep. No, I definitely believe that. I definitely believe that Jordan Spieth will win another major. I think when he shot that 61 about a month ago, it kind of reminded him how good he was, and his hard work the last couple of years has really paid off. I don't know if it'll be this week. I would put my money on Dustin, I think, but I definitely think Jordan Spieth definitely is going to win another major or two.
So you think before he's you gone. Think Dustin? You know, it was interesting, Ed. You picked Dustin, who won in 2020, and it's weird. Yep. You know, you mentioned earlier how it's going to be great to see the Azaleas and the Magnolias again. I thought the Masters, as much as I loved it in 2020, because it wasn't in April, it didn't feel the same to me. The music didn't feel the same. The Magnolias weren't in bloom. But Dustin won it in 2020. I did not realize, Ed, that if he does win, he will join Nicklaus, Tiger, and Faldo as the only four to have won back. I didn't realize that only three guys, Nicklaus, Jack, and Faldo, have won back-to-back since 1934. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. I didn't realize that either. I have to
Three guys, Nicklaus, cool. Nicklaus, Jack, and Faldo.
Pretty good company.
DJ hits it 9,000 yards. And what people, I think, don't understand, I guess they do if they watched it enough, Ed, but it's why a guy like Bubba could win, and that's why, like, my grandsons are fascinated, right, by DeChambeau, my 9-year-old who likes to swing like Happy Gilmore. He wants a Bryson hat, right? So he'll be over your clubhouse looking for the Bryson DeChambeau hat. I assume DeChambeau is going to try to turn it into a par 3 course, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's definitely going to be a fun one to watch too this week. I think he'll learn to tone it back on a couple of holes after how he played there in the fall. But, yeah, it's going to be very fun to watch him and trying to cut some corners and go over some of those big Georgia pines.
You guys seen that meme with Vijay Singh looking at him going like, seen that one yet? Yeah.
Well, because he does things, Nestor. You know, you talk about not being a golfer. And, Ed, I know you're
– it doesn't look human to me. It looks like something that doesn't
– A week or two ago, he hit
the football.
He hit the ball almost – 2 or 3 weeks ago on a par 5.
Yeah.
He cut the par. He went over a lake on a par 5, hit it about 390, and Spieth was on another hole, and he sort of clapped. I mean, it's like, what do you do? It's like,
Can't do that, right?
This is crazy stuff. And at Augusta, you can hit it 4 fairways over, right, Ed? And
absolutely.
Still be in play. I mean, it's kind of weird in that sense. Who's the sleeper for us? Who should we look at? You say, here's a name folks out there in their car may not have heard of, but this cat can win.
You probably have heard of him, but I like Xander Schauffele. I know Xander Schauffele is not, hasn't won a major yet. He hasn't won a ton of tournaments. He's got a few wins, but last 3 years, he seems like he's been at the top of a lot of majors. So I would keep my eye on Xander.
He's dangerously close, right, to starting to wear that moniker. That's very scary. Best player to have never won. I mean, that's an awful thing to have. I'm the best player who's never won a major, right?
So, yeah. Ask Greg Norman how that felt for a little while, right?
Oh, man, he can still see Larry Mize chipping in, right?
I'm sure. You know, I have nightmares all the time.
See, you guys think I can't have a golf conversation with you, but I can.
Hey, Nestor, you know, you talk about that tournament where Mize chipped in. I can remember exactly where it was. My mother, God rest her soul. It's weird how sports does that. We were at my mother's house. My brother and I are looking. Mize hits this shot. You know, they've got him dead. They've got Norman. You know, the tournament's over, basically. And Mize hits his chip. Golf Magazine took him back out a couple months later, and they put 1,000 balls down. They wanted to recreate it. He couldn't get one ball close to the hole. I mean, that's
I believe that,
because the green went like this. I mean, that was one of the craziest golf shots ever. Well, I've also got a soft spot for Justin Thomas. So everybody's going to be glued to the. Are you a fan, Ed? I always say, is it like a shoemaker who's sick of shoes when they get home? Are you golfed out when you get home, or are you a fan?
No, I'm an absolute fan. I definitely still enjoy watching the tour and reading up on the guys. 30 years strong, still a fan.
So. Hey, Ed, we appreciate you coming on and talking some golf with us. I want to open the door one more time for everything that you do over at Forest Park, but at all the courses. And, just an open invitation for anybody that loves golf that's watching this weekend to come out and do a little bit more than doing what I do, which is get a bucket and just beat them up like the Shambo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, please. Everybody, all inclusive at our Classic 5 golf courses, but look us up on the internet, come out, get some fresh air, a little exercise, play some golf, and maybe meet some new friends.
Can you do a crab cake with golf? That's a nice.
Oh, I knew he was going to go there, Ed. We can't let you go. It's the new Baltimore.
Well, you're a real
positive.
Baltimore guy. Yeah. Like, this is a real Baltimore absolutely. Guy. It's I can't new ask Baltimore. Tourists about this.
It's the new hole. Baltimore positive question. If you had to go get one crab cake today somewhere in Baltimore or the state of Maryland, you said, I'm going to get one crab cake. Where do you go get it?
Oh. It would drive you guys crazy. I would probably go to the Narrows. That's my spot.
I haven't heard that yet.
I love it. Yeah, right next door to me, Nestor, right down there on Ken Island.
Well, now. All right. But Don can walk there. Yeah.
I can walk there on Ken Island. Right. It's a good one, isn't it, Ed?
Yes, sir. A cream of crab soup and a crab cake. You cannot beat it.
There you see. This is why I had you on, Ed. But wait to the end for the gift. That's like the lanyard. You know? It's like
there you do then, Ed. Then you jump over to Queenstown and play 36.
Yeah, why not, right?
I have played Queenstown. So there you go. With Coach Pillick one day. So have at it. Hey, it's great having you on. Take care of yourself, all right?
Thank you guys so much. You guys have a great rest of the day.
Give everybody out to the Classic 5. Give it up for Ed talking a little golf with us. Do not disturb the former county executive on Sunday anytime afternoon. He'll be watching baseball and golf and doing all that.
Cell phone will be off.
You can find all that we're doing baseball-wise, opening day-wise, coverage-wise. Luke Jones is at the ballpark and will be at the ballpark. All of our coverage at Baltimore Positive. Great guests this week. We've had Mike Silver on from NFL Network. And we've had incredible baseball conversation with Dan Shaughnessy and Bob Ryan, some golf conversation as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking a little golf, a little Baltimore positive.